Even students who like school can have a little trouble adjusting to being confined in school after a summer spent out of doors. A program called Fall in the Field can help a flock of lucky students from the fourth grade up. Fall, as in autumn, in the field, is about environmental education. And it not only teaches the younger students, it teaches the teachers, in a sense, since they are students of the Environmental Education Program at Southern Oregon University. Let's hear how Fall in the Field works. Jeremy Clothier is the coordinator of the Fall in the Field Program and a Southern Oregon University graduate assistant. Welcome, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jeff.
Tell us about the program. This is really interesting stuff, it sounds like, and how long around?
So the program itself, as far as the graduate program in environmental education, has been around for a long time. One of the teachers running the program went through it a long time. But as far as the program as it exists now in the cohort model, this is the seventh year. And as far as Fall in the Field, this is also its seventh year. So we are cohort seven.
I noticed that on the website.
Yeah.
Cohort seven welcomes you to Fall in the Field. What does that mean? It just means you all go through the program at the same time?
Yeah. So we all show up. Most of us show up in the summer. A few of us showed up in the fall. And we all go through the program together. So we work together. We have Fall in the Field meetings together. We go to class together. We're seeing each other. You know, we have social events together. So it's a year where we're really working closely with each other to build this Fall in the Field program. And it's a big learning experience, everything that goes into it. It's a lot of fun.
So are the people who are in cohort seven, were they already, have they gone through the, like the Master Arts and Teaching program, or is that something coming later? Is there some conjunction
that
there?
Is something that actually happens at the same time. So, there are several ways that you can do the program. You can come in and you can just do a standard program where you get your master's in science and environmental education. You show up, you take the classes, the biology classes, you do Fall in the Field, you do an exit interview thing, and you're done. Or, like me, you can do the nonprofit certificate. So you actually go through and you get a certificate in nonprofit business management. So you're doing that the same time as you're doing Fall in the Field. Or you can do the MAT program as you're doing Fall in the Field. So they're actually getting their teaching license. It adds a little bit to the program, but they're doing it now on top of everything else. And there are some of us who have even gone to the maximum and are doing the base program, getting the nonprofit, and doing the teaching license. And my hat is off to those people because it is absolutely crazy, but so much fun at the same time.
So you're not going to merge with the teaching certificate yourself?
No, not myself. I am not doing the teaching certificate. And that's one of the big questions that a lot of our graduate students ask, because it's a good thing to have in your back pocket, but it adds time. And, you know, for some of us, I love going into classroom, and I think classroom teachers are really important and we need them. But for some of us, just not teaching outside is something I personally can't even imagine.
All right, so it's got to be outside the building for you.
It really does. I've come into classrooms into the past, and you know, you read the kids stories or you show them artifacts, but it's when you get them out on the trail and they're flipping logs and rocks and they're discovering things and they're bringing you these little leaves and they're like, what is this? And you know, you're like, oh, well, what do you think it is? And I had one girl one time go, well, I think it's something really special. I'm like, I think you're right. So it's just those moments that, not saying that they can't happen indoors, but just outside are so much richer for me.
So how many students can take part in Fall in the Field in its three different iterations? And I'm talking about the fourth graders up. You know,
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the dates are September 15th through October 30th. Gosh, we take students in groups of 30. We usually break them up. And depending on how many nights they stay, how many day programs we have, I mean, hundreds. I can't honestly give you a
solid number.
All right, but
somewhere over 100 anyway.
Oh,
but yeah,
certainly.
Well over that. Okay.
Yeah.
And there are three different places that the Fall in the Field program goes on. So why don't you lay those out in turn?
Yeah. So the first place is up in the Cascades-Siskiyou National Monument. Specifically, we do hikes at Hobart Bluff, which is this really cool trail. You start off in this meadow. You get some nice elevation change. You get to go from like this mixed conifer forest up into almost like high desert area at the top just because of that elevation. And you can look out and you can see Pilot Rock. You can see down into Ashland. You get this really great view. And then we also have another site at Green Springs, which is this nice walk around. It gives you several views as well. And there we really focus on the monument and why the monument is there, which is it's the first and, to my knowledge, the only national monument that exists because of the biodiversity, just because of the sheer number of things that live in that area.
Because in that transition zone between the Cascades and Siskiyous, there are lots of unique
things. Yeah, so it's just where this geology is smashed together and... it's this land bridge. It's a really interesting place to do our work.
So that's the Cascades-Siskiyous National mm-hmm. Monument. You also have the Deer Creek Center in Selma.
Yeah, out in Selma, Oregon, the Deer Creek Center. And that provides its own opportunities. We have yurts out there where students can come out. They can stay overnight. So we get a longer experience with the students. They get more exposure to really this wonderful place where we live here in Southern Oregon, and it has a great creek running, and the coolest thing out there in my mind is the serpentine soils and the Darlingtonia or the cobra lilies that are out there, these carnivorous plants. So students who...
Darlingtonia is the scientific name for cobra lily. Okay. I've gotten so used to hearing it being called Darlingtonia, I didn't realize it had it.
Yeah. So the scientific name is Darlingtonia californica, mm-hmm. and the common name is cobra lily because they come up and they have the two leaves that come out, and it looks like a tongue, a snake. they trap insects. It's an adaptation for living on these really nutrient-poor soils. But it's a great time for students to come out, see habitats and ecosystems that they probably won't see otherwise. There's a really cool burn from the Biscuit Fire, I believe, out there.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And just spend some time with us, spend some time out in nature, and have a time learning about each other and the world around them.
Jeremy Clothier is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a graduate assistant at Southern Oregon University and the coordinator for the Fall in the Field program, which takes students from 4th through 12th grades, and there are different groupings for different programs, out to the field to learn about the environment close up. You can join us on the Exchange. Questions and comments welcome at 800-838-3760. Emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Check out Jeremy's picture on our Facebook page while you're at it. So we talked about Deer Creek Center, Cascades-Siskiyous National Monument, and Ashland Pond. Is this a new one you're offering this year?
Ashland Pond is new, and this is something... every cohort tries to build on what's been done in the past, and I think this is a really neat direction for us to go in, because there has been some teachers who have asked in the past, you know, Deer Creek Center, it's all the way out in Selma. That's about an hour and a half. That's quite a haul. Cascades-Siskiyous Monument, the same. It's a windy road up into the monument, up 66. So teachers have been asking for a local site. So this year we're like, well, let's try it. And so Ashland Pond was born. It's off of Oak Street in town, I believe. And it's just a really, really interesting place with a pond that's great for birds and wildlife. There are some otters that are in Ashland Pond. I've never seen them, but people keep saying, oh, there are otters in there.
Really?
I guess you have to walk there a lot to see them. But most importantly, so we're doing kind of the same thing that we're doing at Deer Creek and the monument, teaching the students just about what's around and their connection with nature. But what we're adding at Ashland Pond is what's called a service learning component, where the students will come out and there's a lot of invasive plants out there. As you know, blackberry is a big problem around here. Just it chokes out everything. Mm-hmm. It takes
crowds
over.
Crowds it all out, yeah.
Yeah, and so they'll be learning a little bit about methods for removing blackberry, why we do it, and just a lot of other work helping us restore this really nice habitat here in our own backyard.
Grab your headphones. We have a call for you. Let's go to Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jeremy Clothier.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I always love phone conversations that are so exciting. My day starts you know, I had many joyful experiences as an outdoor educator and leading camps. But one of the things, and I was curious about the K-12, you know, or 4 through 12 component, and you just mentioned service learning. I mean, one of the models that I love and I would like to champion, of course, is the idea of getting teachers and high school students as instructors and mentors and role models for younger students as we share their enthusiasm for the out-of-doors, the clear enthusiasm expressed this morning. So if you can chat about that, that'd be great.
All right. Thanks about that, Ryan.
So as far as having high schoolers be instructors, which I think was the comment and the question, mm-hmm. if I'm correct, yeah, that's really different for just the way that the program is run, because a different cohort is coming in every year and different decisions are being made. And also the program, while I think that is just a fantastic idea, and I'm definitely putting that down, the program is still getting a lot of traction, and I think we're just now starting to see students who may have been in fall in the field, you know, a couple years ago coming into that high school role. And that would definitely be an interesting way for us to not only teach students, but to train environmental educators in the future. So
that's true. If this is cohort 7, then yeah. Some of the students who took this in the fourth grade could be back as high schoolers now,
well,
as
yeah.
Sophomores and juniors. I understand that there's actually some fundraising stuff going on this week with a restaurant in Ashland. I just noticed this morning.
Yeah, so at Louis's downtown, what they do is you can have like a week at Louis's, and so our week is June 1st through the 7th. And what you do is you go in, and when you dine, you can say, well, I'm here to support Fall in the Field, or you can write, I'm here to support Fall in the Field on your receipt. And what happens is 100% of the profits goes to supporting Fall in the Field. So that will help us, since we are expanding this year, we've expanded a little bit beyond our budgetary allotments.
Yikes.
From the schools. Just a skosh, and we want to provide the absolute best experience that we can. So this will help us with teaching materials and just providing the absolute best experience we can for the students.
How do you keep up? I ask this of a lot of educators. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, the outdoors have their own appeals to many, many people, but you're also talking about a generation of people who grew up with little devices in their hands,
yeah.
looking at them all the time. So how do you get them to switch off from that long enough to do as that one girl did? I think this is something really special.
Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of ways to tackle that. You can have people, you can just say, oh, leave your phones in here, just turn them off. And really, once you get them out and get them looking, it's almost like they forget, which is amazing. I've led a lot of hikes, and I've brought a lot of kids outside, and it's just they forget about their iPad because, oh, look, Mr. Jeremy, what's that bird over there? Mr. Jeremy, what's that plant? But also, I mean, obviously, that's the ideal. Really, environmental education right now is kind of, we're in an integration phase as well with technology. So I know whenever I'm out in nature, I'm a birder, so I like to go out and watch birds. I always have my phone in my pocket, which has an Audubon app on it, so I can identify birds. I know there are a lot of interpretive signs out there now that have QR codes in them, so people can scan them with their phones. So it's definitely a case of integrate or die. While nature is just amazing and we want people to turn off their phones, there's a way to integrate technology to enhance the experience, not only for the people who's having it, but also things like citizen science. People can go out and actually collect data and contribute to science being done.
Like the Christmas bird count.
Like the Christmas bird count, and just every day on eBird.
So how much have you worked with schools to find ways to integrate what goes on in Fall in the Field into what they're learning in school?
So right now, we're kind of in the middle of that with teachers, is we're trying to do a really big push to get high schoolers out to the monument, not as teachers, unfortunately, but just as participants. So we're talking with teachers right now and just saying, what do you need? What are your needs? And it's really interesting what we get back. I talked with one teacher at Ashland High, and it's like, well, yeah, a lesson would be great. What we would really like is some career training, which I had never thought about, getting students out and actually teaching them, like, well, if you worked for the BLM for a summer, what would that look like?
If you're a hydrologist or a wildlife biologist or
exactly.
any one of those things.
Yeah, just teaching them, like, what the skills they would need and how much, you know, it's work, but it's fun at the same time.
What does the program cost? I mean, for any students who get into fall in the field, what's the cost?
Yeah, so for the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, it's all different. There's a $40 instructional fee, mm-hmm. and that's just for the class. For Ashland Pond, you can come for a half day where we just do a lesson, or you can come for a whole day where we do the lesson and the service learning. And for a half day, it's $25. For the whole day, it's $40. And then Deer Creek Center, just because there are...
It's a stay-over thing, isn't it? It's a residential?
Yeah, it's a residential. So they come, they stay at least one night, and since there are facilities involved, $5 per person plus a $50 per yurt per night. So the yurts are where the students are staying. Mm-hmm. And then our instructional fees for a one-night program are $80, two nights $120, and three nights $160.
Okay, so not terribly expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll work for a fair number of people already. Mm-hmm. So Fall in the Field is the name of the program. Link from our website at jeffexchange.org. Jeremy Clothier is the coordinator of it. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
Your enthusiasm is infectious.